As we continue in the book of Romans, we're coming from Romans chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 this morning. So if you could turn in your Bibles to me, with me, to Romans chapter 1, verse 10. And I'll read through 12. Making request, if by any means now, at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. This morning I'm going to title this message, The Mutual Faith. This right here, as we read again, verse 10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. We see Paul here making a request, or speaking of his prayers and his desire to at some point be able to join in fellowship, physical fellowship with those that are at Rome. And this right here, I want us to first notice that God's complete control over his ministry, in which he is the orchestrator. He's the conductor of it all, using humans, us humans, as instruments to fulfill his will. His timing, as I was putting this word together, or as I came across this scripture, we've been in Romans for quite a while. And when I first started teaching out of Romans, I expected to go a lot faster than I'm going. But it seems like every line, every precept, takes a little while to, dive into, get a little bit deep in there. And really, it's a lot to extract out of each and everything word that we read within this scripture. But again, his timing is unparalleled, as is he. He has no equal. Everything about him is exceptional. In my time before you again, have been going through this book line by line, and notice, I want you to, how fitting these three verses are to encourage us today for two specific reasons that I'm going to touch on today. And that's the pandemic in which we've all been experiencing, and for many have been affected by in many trying ways. And two, of course, Thanksgiving just being a few days away. So I want us to look back at verse 10. And we see here, Paul says, making request. Not making a request. But if we look at verse 9 in Romans, we go back one verse. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So he's not just making a request. He's been for some time making many requests. We see here Paul, in fact, making many requests unto Jehovah pertaining the subject of being able to journey and to fellowship with those who are at Rome. And if I could stick a pin in here real quick, It's okay to make lots and lots of requests to Jehovah. Notice that's my second time using the name Jehovah. I'm not just using that term because it has a nice ring to it, which it does. But I'm using it because the word Jehovah means our provider, which God is. The whole reason as to why we make requests to the Lord is because we understand and we know that He can provide for us all of our needs. Otherwise, it wouldn't be no reason as to why to pray to Him and make requests of Him if He wasn't able to come through and answer those requests. Many of you, like me, understand His unparalleledness in providing His exceptional, unique, one-of-a-kind ability to come through right on time, right when you need Him. I tell you, some of us, it started raining in our lives, and right on time, Jehovah threw us an umbrella. Some of us could handle getting a little wet, right? Your car broke down on you. Some of us could handle a complete drenching. You couldn't pay the mortgage. You lost your home. Some of us didn't even get wet at all. We've just been walking through life, experiencing blessing after blessing after blessing. In every situation, though, our Father was and is faithful to supply each and every one of our needs. He may not have done it right when you wanted it, but guess what? Like we always say, He was right on time. He was in perfect time. Amen. And He knew how much you can bear when you were going through what you were going through, or when you go through what you're going to go through, because you're going to go through some things in life. But rest assured, God, Jehovah, He is there to provide every one of your needs right when you need it. Now back to Paul and his request to journey to Rome. I started to say those who were believers in Rome. But when putting this message together, I said, I better not say it that way. As you read further, Paul mentions that he is debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. So I said to myself, that says that he's... I didn't want to speculate to the extent of the detail of his prayers and the reasoning as to why he wanted to visit Rome. As we read also later, it says, so as much as it's in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you all that are in Rome. So we see here that Paul was pumped. He was pumped to go spread the gospel and teach the gospel to all those who had an ear to hear that were in Rome. Matthew 9, chapter 12 through 13 reads, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. So reading this, I'm inclined to believe that he was absolutely, again, pumped to go and make disciples in Rome. And that was his desire above all, to want to go and journey to that region. I also want us to see and be encouraged during this time of pandemic that we are tremendously fortunate to be able to communicate in the ways that we do with each other. We are far from the days of Paul having to write letters and wait long periods of time for them to be delivered. And maybe it took twice as long, or maybe it took even three times as long for them to get a response. Most everything for us nowadays is instant. We got computers, we got cellular phones that act as computers. We have FaceTime options with one of the many people that can be on the computer at one time in fellowship with each other in a very personal way. And when we look back to verse 10, and we look back to those times that Paul was living in, we understand that they didn't have that type of access. But God certainly knows this, and he has provided us with the means to stay in fellowship with each other, and we ought not take for granted his grace in providing us with such awesomeness during these times that we're experiencing in this pandemic. We ought not overlook such thoughtfulness of our Lord to give us the great means as he has given us. But instead, we are to be encouraged in his great love and kindness to us and be overcome with thanksgiving to God who has blessed us so, so mightily. Verse 11 reads, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." So we see here that Paul, he also wants to go, and he's been longing to fellowship with the fellow believers. It says here that he wants to impart unto them some spiritual gift, to the end they may be established. But then it goes on to read in 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both in you and me. So he's not just going there to spread the gospel or to be of effect to those that are believers in Rome, but he's also going there for his own personal reason and desire, as to also want to be comforted. It's a comforting in fellowship. And he's longing to fellowship with fellow believers that believe also, because that's the kind of energy that God has designed for us to be able to draw from one another in a fellowship. Impersonal fellowship with the saints. Paul is hitting on something right here. Why do you suppose? I want to ask you. Or how do you explain his intense desire to be in the physical presence of those that believe in Rome? Fellowship is very important. We can see and feel the importance of fellowship as we hear Paul speak of his longing desire to be with those in Rome, not just so that he could be a blessing to them again, but that he can also benefit. And we can relate to Paul, especially in these times that we're experiencing right now, where many of us are and have been longing to see and be with each other in an up close and personal way. And I hear it all the time, you know, talking to loved ones on the phone, you know, myself, you know, I'm experiencing some drawbacks, some withdrawals from being able to fellowship, you know, Sunday at, you know, as I'm used to, or being able to walk around without a mask on, being able to go to my loved one's house and kick it and hang out without fear of getting them sick and them ending up going to the hospital and dying or what so. Many of us have experienced that happening and are really, you know, double traumatized from it. But we can all relate to Paul and the setbacks that he's been experiencing and not being able to get to the location and the places that he wants to go to be nurtured by his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So many of us are going through some issues right now, and life has become just downright uncomfortable. There are so many things that we can't find comfort in right now, and causes separation between us. Being it politics, racism, just plain stupidity, disregard for the safety of others while driving, or even just being out and about. You can get hit by a negligent driver, caught by a stray bullet. Now you walk up and down the streets and you're afraid to get sneezed on. You can get kidnapped, robbed, framed, lied on, cheated on, fired, laid off from your employment. And I can seemingly go on and on and on and on. This Thanksgiving holiday is going to be very different and trying for many of us. For fear and precaution of our loved ones, many of us have decided not to gather as normal. There will be a lot of lonely people throughout these holidays. It's just not going to be the same. But guess what? You and me, this doesn't have to continue to be for many of us, or even have to be a reality for others of us that are in the faith. It's kind of like David Boxton always preaches and talks about that parallel kingdom. Even Pastor talked about the parallel kingdom that our life that we live in versus this physical life that we're living in right now. As believers, we live in a kingdom. You know, so God doesn't operate the same way that Satan operates. Us being believers and us having faith and us being filled with the Holy Spirit and having those benefits of living in Christ Jesus, we are expected to act differently. We are expected to believe differently. We have total different benefit package than those who are not believers. So with that said, we ought not fall into the trap of feeling the same way or falling into the same discomforts. Or should I not say fall into the same discomforts, but getting lost in those same discomforts, because we have a way out. There is cause and much cause for us to celebrate always. What is that cause? I'm glad you asked. None other than the gospel of Jesus Christ it is. Because of the sacrifice of Christ that Christ made for you and I on Calvary, you and I have been cleansed of all our unrighteousness and forgiven of all of our sins. If that isn't enough, which it is, we have been molded into one body. We are one bride in Christ. Romans 8:38 and 39 reads, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Folks, that's cause for celebration. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Do you believe that, my brothers and sisters, this morning? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Do you believe in the love of God? Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. Let me read this. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, and he should not see death. It was not found, but God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe." There's that word. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." One songwriter says, "His love is reckless." I believe that's Israel. He says, "God's love is reckless. There's nothing he won't do to rescue you. Nothing he won't do to come to your aid. Nothing he won't do to protect you from evil. Nothing he won't do to satisfy you." Another writes that God's love is a hiding place, a place of refuge. We read in the psalm, it says, "His love endures forever." Let me ask you this morning, do you believe these things? Do you believe that his love endures forever? Well, since I can't hear you, because we're speaking through the social media, I answer for you. Yes, you do believe. If you are in the body of Christ, if you are indeed in the body of Christ, you believe. As if we believe. Marvin Winans wrote a song called "We Believe," called "I Believe." I'll substitute that word "I" with "we." And I'll echo some of the sentiments that he wrote in that song that talks about what a believer ought to believe and what he ought to cling to and hold to and what ought to actually be him. "We believe behind the clouds the sun still shines. We believe there is a coming of a brighter day. We believe that trouble won't last always. We believe joy is coming in the morning." This line next is pretty heavy. It says, "We believe that we will, then we can." Did you guys get that? Not we can, then we will. See, we can implies that maybe there might be some failure involved. It's possible, right? We don't believe just in possibilities. We believe that we will. We believe that it's already done. And then we go out and we do it and perform it because we can. Not because it's possible. Don't you ever stop believing, he says. No matter what you're going through, keep the faith. We're going to make it if we keep the faith. I thought it real fitting, the verse that we read this morning is in Romans 8, verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. You guys get that? That's comforting you again. That's confirming again who you are. You are not of the flesh, but you are of the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Again, we don't want to overlook that. If the spirit of God dwells in you, if indeed that is true and that's a fact, then you are not of the flesh, but you are in the spirit. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Our silver lining today is the love of Christ that has unified us, has made us one, and has allowed us to be heirs of the kingdom of God. A silver lining is a sign of hope or a positive aspect in an otherwise negative situation. We got a whole bunch of negative situations right now that we could possibly cling to and allow us to be in a down state, a disoriented state. But we have a silver lining, which is the hope that we draw from Christ Jesus and being in Christ Jesus. Our silver lining today is the fellowship that God has given us and designed for us to be able to have to strengthen each other, to draw from each other. So forsake not the fellowship today, saints. We need to use what we have, technology, each other, and draw that strength from each other. Stay encouraged to be comforted, the mutual faith that we all have in Christ Jesus. Please share this message today and have a blessed, very blessed, and comforted holiday. Amen.